This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
New voices in your head.
It's Radio Free Radio.
Hi, I'm Wayne McPhail, and I was one of the people that originally started the Rabble Podcast Network, and I think that you should support the Rabble Podcast Network and Rabble.ca because there's no other place where you're going to get such a diversity of voices speaking truth to power.
The Rabble Podcast Network is 10 years old this year. Show your support by going to www.rabble.ca/donate.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
By now, many of us have heard about the crisis facing Flint, Michigan. Its water is contaminated with lead, and its citizens are being poisoned. Some children in the largely poor, largely black community have seen lead levels in their blood triple since the decision to take the city tap water from the Flint River. Chris Savage is the owner and publisher of Michigan-based eclectablog.com and has been following the story closely, and he's speaking with us today to discuss how this tragedy occurred. Hello, Chris.
Hello there.
I understand that this tragedy is really sort of the culmination of some decisions that were made several years ago, in fact. Can you run us through a little bit of the backstory?
Sure, that's accurate. So basically, Flint, Michigan has some of the highest water rates in the country. They get their water from the Detroit Water and Sewerage Department, and they're at the end of the line, so their rates are quite high. They've been, over the years, considering other options to try to reduce these costs, and one of those was to form their own water system called the Karen Gandhi Water Authority. And that decision to do that happened in April of 2013. Shortly after they did that, literally within a couple of days, the Detroit system notified them that they were exercising their option to cancel their contract with them, which they had for almost 50 years. They had to give 1 year's notice. And the problem with that is that the system that Flint was going to change to get their own water from Lake Huron was not going to be ready for nearly 2 years after that. So they had to make some decisions. At the time, both Flint and Detroit were under emergency managers who were making basically all of the decisions on behalf of the local government that was no longer able to do that. And they weren't able to work it out. The emergency manager in Flint declined an offer at the last minute to stay on the Detroit system. And in April of 2014, they made the switch. The switch that I'm talking about is to get their water from the Flint River until this pipeline was built. Unfortunately, the Flint River water is considerably different in chemistry than Lake Huron. It doesn't have lead in it, but it is a corrosive water source. And the Flint system, they had a new water treatment plant, and they were not treating the water properly. They weren't adding things like phosphates to reduce the corrosive effects of the water. And what happened is that slowly over time, the corrosive nature of this water began to erode off the mineral scale and other in the biofilm that had coated lead lines and lead plumbing components in people's homes. And sooner than later, lead became started to leach into the drinking water of people. It's important to know that the river water itself doesn't have lead in it. It's the connection between the main water line at the street and people's taps. There's lead components, sometimes pipes, sometimes fixtures, soldering in the pipes, that type of thing. And that's where the lead's coming from. And even prior to that, they were having trouble. They had an E. coli problem with the water from the river. They got that under control by chlorinating it, but they overchlorinated it, and so they had trihalomethanes, which are a byproduct, disinfection byproduct, and they were exceeding the Clean Water Act limits on that. Because of the corrosive nature of the water, it started to basically destroy the lines in these people's homes, and the water was foul-smelling, discolored. People were experiencing rashes and other health impacts from it. And so really from the beginning, it's been quite a tragic situation. The decisions that were made that really led to this, there were two of them primarily, and both of them fall completely, in my opinion, on the Snyder administration, Governor Rick Snyder's administration. The first, of course, was to not take Detroit's offer to stay on their line or to stay on their water. And that was made by the emergency manager, Darnell Early, who is now the emergency manager of Detroit Schools. And the other one was that the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality, that's in charge of our drinking water, They approved a treatment process that did not include the addition of this phosphate corrosion treatment. And that literally would have cost only less than $100 a day from what I've read. So these decisions that were made to save money really ended up poisoning a large number of people in Flint. It's important to know also that it's not everybody in Flint. It just depends on what you have in your system in your water line. So if you've got lead pipes, if you've got lead solder, if you've got components that can contain lead, you're very likely to have a problem. And a researcher at University of Michigan has been mapping this, estimates that between 15 and 23,000 homes in Flint are affected by this.
You said that the switch over from the Detroit water system to the Flint River was back in April 2014, but we're only really just learning about this contamination now. How soon after the switch was done did the people in Flint started noticing a change and maybe starting to try and alert people?
Almost immediately, they started having problems with things like discoloration, foul taste, and odor, and then, you know, of course, the E. coli thing. So really, it started almost immediately after that. They started having these problems. It wasn't until probably January of last year, I think, that the idea of lead contamination became something that people were concerned about. And by summertime, Mark Edwards, a professor from Virginia Tech University, started doing water testing and was finding just shocking levels of lead in people's drinking water. So it took a while for that mineral scale coating to sort of erode away off of those pipes, and that's why the lead problem didn't really manifest itself. The thing about lead is that we're talking, you know, in some cases we're talking, you know, very low levels, parts per billion, you know, and there's really no safe level of lead, but the action level is 15 parts per billion, and they were finding levels of lead in the thousands and tens of thousands in some cases. But you can't smell it, you can't see it, you can't taste it. You know, it's not something that you know is there unless you're looking for it. But it was basically Professor Edwards and Dr. Mona Hanna-Attisha at the Hurley Medical Center. She's a pediatrician there. She was another whistleblower that sort of raised the alarm when she started seeing elevated lead levels in children's blood. And as you said in your intro, sometimes 3 to 4 times higher than you know, they had had before. So it was a slow rollout. It took a long time for things to really get noticed. There's plenty of blame to go around, I think, in terms of just not notifying people. The U.S. EPA, the federal government, actually knew about it in the summer of 2015 and was encouraging the DEQ to force Flint to do the phosphate treatment, but they didn't alert anybody. And so it really wasn't until October of last year that finally the state admitted that they had a problem that they had to deal with, even though they'd probably known about it for, you know, months ahead of time. And that's really the most egregious part about this, is that people didn't know.
What is the effect of lead on the human body?
Well, it can have a lot of different impacts, and I'm not a medical person, so I'm not going to get too far into this, but it can cause cognitive disabilities, particularly in children. It is rapidly absorbed into the bones of these kids, so they can literally pass this on to their children as well. So it can become a multi-generational problem. But it definitely has an impact on cognitive abilities. So there's real concern now that there's this whole cohort of kids in Flint now that are going to be dealing with this for the rest of their lives, frankly. And there's no treatment for it. Once you have lead in your body, it's something that even if you shed the lead, the impacts are still already there and they've already manifested. And children are much more sensitive. And the fact that it absorbs into the bones makes blood testing somewhat unreliable, because you can have been exposed to large or, you know, harmful levels of lead and not show that in your blood, you know, after a period of time, after your body absorbs it into the bones. So it's, you know, there's a lot of folks out there that are trying to protect the governor, and they're saying, well, this isn't a big problem. These kids' blood levels are low, blah, blah, blah. But we don't really know that to be the case, because they may be fine now that their water is a little bit less dangerous. But, you know, this problem is still happening. There was a report yesterday. They've done additional testing. They took over 4,000 samples, and they're still finding high levels of lead. They found 26 particular instances where the lead level in these people's tap water was over 150 parts per billion, and that exceeds the capacity of the water filters that they're handing out. So even though these people are using water filters and, you know, using them properly, they still may be getting lead in their drinking water because the filters can't handle that high of a level.
Since this news story broke, even just in the last few days, there have been some new developments. What are some of those new developments?
Yeah, it seems like every day there's something new. One of the things that happened that was sort of shocking was that in January of last year, the Snyder administration, they have a state office building in Flint, and they began offering bottled water in that building because they knew there were issues. At that time, it wasn't lead, it was the trihalomethanes. And, you know, so the state was taking action to protect its own people and the people that were in that building, but they were still telling people that everything was fine, that it was safe, just relax. And so it just shows how poor the communication's been on this and how sort of careless and they've been about how, you know, how this is impacting the local community in Flint. So, you know, they knew that they had a problem long before they ever took any kind of action on it. And that's the most outrageous part about this. And then, like I said, you know, yesterday they came out with these reports from these other testing to show that there's still lead, lots of lead in many people's homes. So it's an ongoing issue that, you know, they have since gone back to Detroit River Water, but the damage is done to these pipes. And so it's going to be quite a significant period of time before the protective coating is rebuilt on inside these lines.
The city manager, the excuse was that the switch to the Flint had to do with saving money, but even just this week there's been a development about, wasn't there, the Detroit Water Company had offered to renegotiate a deal at a much lower rate, is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct, and that news is still being verified, that the DWSD is confirming that report. They wanted Flint on their system. That was a large revenue source for them, and the assumption was that when they cut Flint off originally, that they were going to try to renegotiate at higher rates because they sort of had them over a barrel, you know, because they didn't really want to go to Flint River, and some, you know, at least some folks didn't. But it's now coming out that actually the opposite was true, that they wanted to keep that business, and so they were willing to take a price cut basically. And again, Darnell Early, the emergency manager, told them, thanks, but no thanks. We're all set here. We've got our water treatment plant and we've got the Flint River, so we'll just go on that for the next year and for the next 2 years until the KWA water system was built. So, you know, every one of these things can be traced back to, you know, the emergency manager system in Michigan, in my opinion, because locally elected officials had no say in this whole thing. And there's a lot of people are saying, well, you know, the Flint City Council voted to go to the Flint River, but that is actually not the case. The Flint City Council voted, and it was largely a ceremonial vote because they did not have control at that time because they had an emergency manager, but they voted to join the KWA. They did not vote to go to Flint River. That was a decision that was made by the emergency manager.
Lots of people are apologizing and promising to fix the situation, chief among them Governor Snyder. What do you think is likely to happen as a result of all of this?
I wish I was optimistic that people were going to be held accountable for this, but I'm frankly not that optimistic about that. I do think that you're going to see people fleeing from his administration. We've already seen the head of the DEQ was resigned or was forced to resign. The person that was running the water system in Flint has resigned. But I'm a little dubious that anybody is going to be held accountable in terms of going to jail for example, or even being taken to court, or even being, you know, for example, indicted. But I do think you're going to see people getting out of that administration because it's just seen as such a disaster in terms of management stuff. And really, the emergency manager system in Michigan is part of a larger way of looking at government, which is that it should be run like a business. And our governor is a corporate person. He's a CEO-type person, and that's the way he views government. And government does not operate like a business. In times of austerity, when the economy is not good, you know, businesses, they pull back, they don't invest, they sort of hunker back until the economy improves, and then they start to invest again once things improve. Government needs to do just the opposite of that. In difficult times, that's when government is most needed. That's when investments in, you know, things that help people who are struggling most need to happen, and that's exactly what didn't happen here. Instead, they put things off. The people that were blowing the whistle were maligned in the press and told, you know, people were told that they were rogues and that they were, you know, they were inaccurate, and they were just, these people were basically discredited, when in fact they are now seen as heroes because they were the people that were blowing the whistle. And even Governor Snyder and his administration now are acting like, you know, these people are heroes, even though just a year ago they were, you know, tearing these people apart in the press. So there are lawsuits pending. It is possible that some people will be held accountable, but I'm not very optimistic. Our system in Michigan is largely run by the Republican Party, and they protect each other. So that goes all the way up to the Supreme Court.
It's a horrifying story you've outlined, and I very much appreciate you giving us a lowdown. I'd like talking with you today.
If I could just say one final thing, you know, this idea of emergency managers that, you know, when a city is struggling, that you know, the correct response to that is to remove local government and put a democracy to the side as a policy, you know, it's a failed policy. And in Michigan is the test bed for it. We're the beta testers for emergency management. But it's not just in Michigan anymore. Indiana has an emergency manager law. New Jersey has an emergency manager law. Ohio is considering one. This is something that could be rolled out nationally. And it's something that people need to be aware of, because literally this could be coming to a government near you. So you really need to be paying attention, if you're not living in Michigan, to what your state legislatures are doing and making sure that you hold on to democracy with both hands, because I don't believe that the situation in Flint would have happened the way it happened. And I don't think we would have the lead contamination problem that we had if local government had been accountable to its electorate. And that is not what's happening in Flint right now and in other cities in Michigan that have emergency managers.
Well, thanks again very much, Chris.
You bet. Thanks, Jim.
I've been speaking with Chris Savage, a Michigan-based journalist and founder of Eclectablog, and we've been discussing the ongoing issues in Flint, Michigan's water supply.